Welcome back to Acidic Features Podcast, brought to you by Acidic Film Productions, here with your host, as usual, Eli Fridley, kicking off season two today with musician Brandon Davis. How are you doing today?
Yeah, great, brother. How about yourself?
Pretty good. We're doing season two, episode one today, so I'm pretty excited.
Thank you.
I saw on Facebook you went up to Wisconsin. How was that?
Cold. Best way to describe it, man. It was cold. Don't get me wrong. We had a blast and it was fun. But it was cold.
Yeah, I definitely don't like the cold. I recently, a couple months ago, moved from Texas back to Minnesota, and it took me a while to get used to it again. That was pretty bad.
I believe it, man. It's a culture shock when you get up there, just for the fact that down here in Tennessee, like, our weather is anywhere from, you know, this time of year, we might hit 65, and then we'll go down, like, in the mid-20s, low 30s. When I got up there, I was complaining because it was like 6 degrees, then 2 degrees. And then they're like, hey, you're getting no reason to complain no more. It's like, what do you mean? They said, there's no temperature outside. It's zero. I was like, oh, that makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah, it's terrible here. It really is. One of my things I do with my friend is like snow removal. And man, like, luckily though, if it gets too cold, it can't snow. It can't snow if it gets too cold. So that definitely makes it better. But back in 2019, you started up your music career. What was it like to be able to have it begin and take off the way that it did?
Well, really and truly, I mean, 2019 was a hard year because I went through that wreck, and it kind of gave a new perspective on everything to say, hey, look, if you're going to chase your dreams, it's time to chase them. And I had a beautiful wife by my side saying, look, that's exactly what you need to do. If that's all you have set in your mind is, what have I done and what have I not done? What have I not accomplished? And she said, if music's that avenue, let's find a way to make it happen. And that's exactly what we did. We chased after it kind of at a slower pace at the start, but the pandemic had kind of taken over the world there at the start of 2020. And it gave us a very unconventional avenue to start saying, hey, there's a lot of people in front of their phones. She's like, look, there's all these folks on TikTok. You need to get on here and start making something happen. It's like, yeah, and no. It's like, I've seen TikTok. It's like, there's a bunch of people doing all these silly dances and trying to be funny. I was like, I got dad jokes and two left feet. It ain't happening. I'm not accustomed to this. But she finally convinced me, and thankfully she did, because this thing has skyrocketed into a whole new level of, you know, fan connection and being able to share music in ways that I wasn't able to before. So it's been crazy to watch it take off like it has, because I can't sit here and count my blessings more than I already have. It's just nuts to watch so many people that are connecting with you saying, hey, look, we love what you're doing and we want to hear more. And if it weren't for those folks that are out there doing that, you know, you got to have fans in order to have a fan base, and you got to have people listening in order to put out music. So thankfully we've got folks that are willing to listen.
That's definitely true. It's always, it really is always up to the listeners, really. Whenever there's anyone to thank, it's always the people who are always there actually listening. And was music what you always wanted to pursue, or was there any other career that you had your mind set on?
So at the start of everything, there was two professions I always wanted to go after. And the first was actually baseball. Baseball was at the top of the list because my dad loved playing, and I loved being able to get on the mound to be a pitcher and just kind of take control of the game. But baseball didn't pan out, unfortunately. And I thought, you know, the first dream I wanted to chase didn't happen. I didn't really know how to chase music, which was the second one. So I was like, let's go for the middle road, which is the guarantee, hey, get a degree, get a job, and settle down and make something of yourself the way that you know is actually possible. And thankfully, we didn't settle.
Yeah, that's definitely true. That's definitely true. It seems like it's definitely working out for you. That's for sure.
Hey, so far so good, man. But it takes a lot more love on the outside of our operation than just us doing it, because we can do this all day. But, you know, you got to have folks that are willing to connect, that are willing to share this stuff out, that are willing to show up to these shows. Because, I mean, you walk into a room, get ready to play guitar, and it's an empty house, it's going to be a boring show.
Yeah, I know for sure. And you've had concerts across the country, spanning from Tennessee to California, even having the chance to perform in places such as Jamaica and Cancun. What was it like to have the opportunity to be able to experience them firsthand?
Man, it's crazy because I've gotten to travel the country a lot even before music, but now I've gotten to travel outside of the country, and everywhere I go, I'm getting to share what I love to do. And being able to know that everywhere you're going, even though it's work that you love, that's a whole different way of viewing it. Because for me, used to work was, well, this is what gets me my paycheck. Now it's, you know, work is, dang, I love my job. I love getting to do what I do. And I show up at places like Jamaica and Cancun, where you're already in this tropical oasis surrounding you, because it's beautiful, the places you get to see when you go to places like that. And not only do I get to go down there and enjoy such a beautiful place, but I get to share my music while I'm doing it. So it's just surreal.
Yeah, no, that would definitely be probably one of the best places to go. I've only been out of the country once. I went to Mexico, but that was pretty crazy. I went when I was like 16, but which kind of sucks because there's not much to do in Mexico at 16. It was pretty fun. It really was. It really was actually pretty great. But going on to segment two, one of the better ones, side quests. Have you ever thought about acting or doing anything in the movie industry before?
You know, to be honest, you know, I think we all have that moment when we're like little kids, yeah. Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be just like my favorite actor that's on this movie, or I'm gonna be like the people that do all these superhero movies, and I'm gonna be the tough guy that they want to cast as Batman one day. But
yeah,
I can't say on a serious note that I've ever really put much thought into it, just because. So I don't know. I've always viewed the camera as something that's a whole lot better for me, candid than scripted. Okay. Because if I ever have to read off what I have to do, like it put me in front of a camera for an Instagram story where I have to tell people information about a show, and you will see so many outtakes, it would make you, I mean, gut laugh for days. So I'd say it takes some getting used to ever put that in my head, but you know, never opposed if the opportunity were to present itself.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. See, if you could, this is one of my favorites. Throughout a few episodes, we've had guests, and I've asked them a variation of like, if they could do a movie with somebody, who would they do it, and everything like that. So, if you could do an album or single with any artist, who would that be, and why?
You know, used to would have been before he passed. It would have been Merle Haggard, just because he's always been a country hero of mine and a songwriting hero. He's got such a way with words and a way of really speaking to kind of your everyday person and putting together songs that are pretty much what we're living every day in our lives. So he would have been my top choice. But if it were today, I'd say, honestly, especially with the opportunity that I've got coming up to go on tour, it'd be Tim McGraw, because this is a guy he's seen so much in his career from start to finish. He's been doing this for several generations now. I won't say generations, but like several
decades
and age groups that I've been able to pass from being a young kid riding in my parents' car and listening to his music and finding out how much I loved it, and watching his career evolve to only see that his career is so huge and at its peak right now, while mine is just now getting started, and to finally get to be a part of that makes me think, man, that I'd love to be able to just create some music with the guy and just sit back and see what we couldn't do together.
Yeah, no, that is definitely great. I remember, I think it was Tim McGraw. There was like a book or something that he had out or something like that. I don't know that he helped with, but I remember my sister had it when she was really young, and she like loved the book.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome.
But growing up in Tennessee, did you ever try and get small gigs at bars or clubs to get your name out there when you were younger, trying out music?
Well, when I was younger, we had a family band, and we played at a place called the Birchwood Family Opry, which was actually a small opry house out in Birchwood, Tennessee, that we started back in, I think, like 2009 or 2010. And I played with that family band for exactly 10 years, from 2010 until 2020 when COVID hit. That was when our last shows really were. And as soon as I saw that, you know, it was kind of going to be a decline and we weren't going to be able to go out there any longer, I started branching out and finding places that I could get local, you know, acoustic gigs by myself and see if I could just branch out on my own. And thankfully those people gave me a shot, and we've been able to take these shows well outside of our own wheelhouse and travel from, you know, here to the other side of the country and back.
Yeah. So when you were first getting into making your own music, who were some of your biggest inspirations, and who are some of your biggest inspirations now? Have they changed at all?
Getting into it, a big inspiration on the forefront was my father, just because I watched him, you know, play country music and gospel music and chase after both over the course of my lifetime and even before I was born. And he introduced me to so many people that I longly looked up to, especially the old country greats like Johnny Cash and Waylon and Merle. But, you know, as I started diving deeper into what country music was and kind of what it meant to people as well as myself, was I found Merle Haggard was such a huge inspiration just because of where he started. You know, a man that had been to prison and managed to come out and make something of himself and completely redirect his life, to people like Jamie Johnson, who, you know, embody such a soul of how I feel this industry really needs to look at what songs are being written about and stories that are being told. And even now today with folks like Luke Combs, because Luke has shown that you can still get into the good country roots and bring back a style that might not have been in style right as he was getting into this, you know, his start of the industry. It was not necessarily a time the 90s country was just the hottest thing on the market, and Luke Combs managed to say, hey, I like 90s country, but I like how it is nowadays. Let's mix the two and make it happen. And so I'd say between those group of artists, and my father included, that would sum up my inspirations from where it began all the way to now, with Luke being probably the newest addition to that pack.
Great. That's great. So going into segment three here, Future Innings, like you brought up, you have a tour next year with the very talented Tim McGraw. What are your thoughts on being able to do this tour, and how did you react when you had gotten the news?
Well, the initial reaction was speechless, stuttering, and using the words absolutely and holy crap more than I can probably explain, because you never expect a call like that. And when it actually happens, you're just kind of floored, and you're in that moment where, you know, I always thought I'd know how to react to this. And then it happens, and you're like, I honestly don't know what to say. What do you say? But yes, 100% yes. And now knowing that I'm going to be touring the country with the guy and getting to have all these experiences going from city to city and playing on the same stage as someone I grew up idolizing in this industry, it's an honor. It's an honor, and it's one of those once-in-a-lifetime chances that I'm thankful to have it.
Yeah, for sure. No, when people like that you always look up to become, you know, instead of idols, they become friends and like people you can work with. It's always like the most surreal thing. Like you really do like sometimes feel like you're in a dream.
Like that's the truth, man. And that's probably the best way I can describe this. I'm still looking forward to really getting this thing kicked off, because we've got a short period before we really get started. And I keep getting asked the question, hey, are you nervous? You know, are your nerves kind of getting to you yet? You get closer to all this happening, you know, how's it going to feel when you get on stage? Like, well, right now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not nervous, because I'm doing the same thing I'm getting to do. It's just on a much bigger scale with amazing people surrounding me. But we'll see how that changes when I take that first step out on that amphitheater stage in Rogers, Arkansas. It might be a whole different story.
Yeah, no, for sure. When our third episode of this podcast, when we had Tommy Chong on, and I remember 20 minutes beforehand, I threw up because of how nervous I was.
Oh, man.
So nervous. I was like, I have to crush it. And it was so great. And we're going to have a 420 special with somebody as well. They're going to come back, and we're very excited about that. We can't talk too much about that because, like, we haven't, we don't have all the details under, but we're like, it's kind of crazy to be able to have the people that we've looked up to be able to just come on and talk. Yeah, it's pretty crazy, because like we try to get a couple people, and some people are really hard to get, but we're still trying for some crazy stuff. But so I was wondering, what is in the future for your music career? Are you working on any big new projects or any new albums?
We are definitely working on some big new projects. I won't allude as to exactly what just yet, but it's safe to say between now and middle of April, we've got a pretty good wave of good news and music that's going to be flushing out to everybody. So I'm extremely excited to finally be able to, you know, once we are able to break the seal on this little secret. It's not a secret amongst friends, but, you know, once you get it out there to everybody, cat's out of the bag. So we're trying to build up some hype because I don't even know how to put it into words. The project we've got has just got so much heart in it and so many special touches that we've been able to place on it. So I'm extremely excited to be able to share this with everyone.
That's great. I'm excited to find out what it is. Yeah, no, I definitely know what that feels like to have things you just can't really talk about. Because, like, yes, there's some things that you think you could say, but it would totally ruin it. Like, you just can't give really much away at all.
Yep, and then you get right in the middle of a sentence, and you get right to that point where you're like, ah, you're about to give up too much. You need to curve this thing and go to the other direction.
Yeah.
So.
It's so stressful, for sure. And so what future opportunities are you hoping to be able to achieve in the next upcoming years? You know, you've had a tour with Tim McGraw. Are there any works maybe of your own tour, of you going by yourself and having other people?
I mean, honestly, that would be a very huge step. And I'm hoping that is something that we can make happen, because it's crazy to see how far we've come. And thankfully, we've got a lot of support to help us keep growing. And I'd say within the next year, the biggest goals would be, yes, to hopefully have a headlining tour and, you know, carry this show as far as we can carry it and really connect all these people that we're seeing comment and come through on all these streams and screens. And to be able to connect like that across this country like we have in the past year has been amazing, because it is on a smaller scale, but it's, you know, personal relationships and a lot of people we've been able to meet face to face. But to share that with a larger group of people on a more regular basis in more cities, places that we haven't been able to get yet, that's going to be a huge goal. And sharing as much music as we possibly can within that time frame, which is releasing as much as possible, that'd be the goal on top of that.
Awesome. So now for the last few questions, are there any dates that are coming up right now that you would like to share? Anything, you know, specific that's happening very soon that you'd like to put out there?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not as good at this as my wife is. So okay. Double check this calendar and make sure I'm not fibbing to anybody, because I can't get my wires crossed. But we have the last leg of the step-by-step tour is going on right now, and it's going to carry us all the way through, it looks like, the start of April. I know the end of March, and then we'll be heading out on the McGraw tour. But if you want to catch us between now and the McGraw tour, we've got several Chattanooga shows that are going on January 19th, January 28th. We will also be in Trenton, Florida, January 29th, Florence, South Carolina on February 5th, and Bakersfield, California, February 12th. So if anyone wants to be able to check on these dates and see if there's any ticketing information, price information, and specific locations and details of that nature, they can go to brandondavismusic.com. We've got it all posted up there. And there's also, you know, any direct link you want to go stream music, see our social platforms and all that good stuff, just find her out there at the website.
All right, great. I'll have everything linked up. To thank you for joining us. It was a pretty quick episode. Nice first episode for our second season. But thank you very much for joining me. It was pretty great.
Hey, it was a pleasure, brother. Looking forward to seeing what all y'all got coming too. I gotta stay tuned for your 420 episode.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I'm pretty excited about it. I really am. We're like we're here. We're already writing like the entire episode and everything. Like freaking out to like make sure it's perfect. So
congrats on the cat that you can't let out of the bag just yet, but definitely looking forward to it on my end as well. And I appreciate you having me on, brother.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you very much. All right.